And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it.
As Vladimir Putin gives his federation a Christian facelift, Pope Francis consecrates Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Why did this woman take a chainsaw to this crucifix in Kyiv? Justin Trudeau gets roasted by the European Union, and George Soros condemns the COVID lockdowns. What in God's holy name is going on?
Ukrainian,
but should we give them the weapons so they can win? You're not answering. Should we give them
defense?
The weapons to win the war?
They can't win this war, Sean. What does winning look like?
Man, Sean, breathe. Buddy, take a chill pill. I mean, evidently, friends, the only acceptable outcome for these neocons, and that's what he is, you know, this whole war is driven by neocons. It has been for 10 years. The only acceptable outcome for them is evidently World War III, right? I mean, with Russia wiped completely off the map. And the thing is, the really weird things for old guys like me is that it's total deja vu. I mean, I'm sure some in this audience remember 2003. Doesn't it just feel the same as 2003 and the invasion of Iraq? And now, absolutely incredibly, George W. Bush is back on the warpath. He's out there right now joining his voice to Hillary Clinton and the rest, demanding that we stand with Ukraine because, as George W. says, we cannot tolerate the authoritarian bullying and danger that Putin poses. I mean, I've been taking my shoes off in airports for 20 years thanks to this authoritarian little bully named George W. Bush.
There's no doubt he can't stand us. After all, this is the guy that tried to kill my dad at one time.
Now, here we go again. But, you know what? We don't do this show to just try to scare people and freak you out and tell you that's the end of the world. If I didn't have good news, if I didn't have a game plan, I don't know why I'd bother doing the show. You know, we got to get this whole point of this show is to stay up. We've got good news. There is good news. There's dramatic difference in attitude now than in 2003. As I've explained to you before, 2003 was lonely. Nobody could see it. Nobody understood, you know, because we were on a crusade with a pro-life crusader leading the way. So the good news today is even in popular culture, even on the blogosphere and the vlogosphere and everywhere else, people, normal people, are seeing through this snow job. Here's JP Sears.
Hi, I'm the guy that supports The Current Thing. And right now, the current thing that I support with all my heart is Ukraine.
The flag's upside down.
Really? Oh, I thought the yellow went on top.
Apart from a couple of uber-Americanist outfits who, let's face it, are headed up by aging baby boomers who just can't get their heads out of the Cold War, you know? And I think most of us, other than them, are really seeing through this propaganda, war propaganda. And that is a considerable feat, because once again, we're dealing with the most powerful propaganda machine in the world, when you think about it. Big Brother is on these screens all around us, everywhere we go, you know? That's powerful. So we're happy that so many people are sticking together. I asked you a few weeks ago to, you know, go a little bit out on a limb with me on this thing. The numbers are doing really good. The last three shows are doing fantastic. Thank you. Share these shows. Like them. And I know a lot of you said, you know, I hadn't thought of it that way. You know what that means? That down here in the underground, we are still able to have conversations as adults. It's so important, friends. And we're talking about COVID. We have all sorts of ways of proving we did a pretty darn good job. What we were saying 2 years ago, even the lizard people now are admitting.
All Xi Jinping can do now is to impose a zero COVID policy. This involves severe lockdowns at the slightest sign of an outbreak. But this is having negative effect on economic activity. And it is also inflicting severe hardship on the people who instantaneously quarantined wherever they are, and their complaints can't be silenced.
Now, there's new science in town, you know. Stand with Ukraine. Yes, if you don't stand with Ukraine, you're a worthless human being. Yes, you are. Stand with Ukraine. You know, those beautiful people from the Fiddler on the Roof. That's what we're talking about. Only, actually, Zeidel and Havala and Hodl, they've evidently grown up and they've turned into femmin over there in Ukraine. Did you notice? Those topless ladies who use crucifixes in unmentionable ways. You know what they are? They are the new and improved Ukrainians. Anna Hutzel from Kyiv, along with her two little pals there, her two little Ukrainian friends. And they are the peaceful Ukrainian protesters who, well, run around desecrating Catholic cathedrals, for one thing, cathedrals all over Europe. You might remember them from back when they attacked the Archbishop of Brussels. Later on, by the way, said the traditional Latin Mass at the Chartres pilgrimage in France. And the bishop was evidently speaking out against blasphemy, you see. After a Russian court convicted something that, sort of a rock band, I'm not even going to say the name, but you probably remember from a few years ago. We'll throw them up on the screens. These delicate young things. They were convicted for desecrating Moscow's main Orthodox, Russian Orthodox cathedral some years ago. So Vladimir Putin put them in jail for that, which, of course, incurred the wrath of Femen. And here's how our little lass from Anatevka responded to that. It almost seems like there's a holy war happening, doesn't it? The one that we're not being allowed to hear about. It almost seems like there is, though, doesn't it? And Oksana, by the way, founder of Femen, well, she hung herself just a few years later. She was 31 years old. This was in 2018. You see what I'm saying, friends? You see, we got to have a clear image. I'm not saying everybody in Ukraine is Femen, but this is the kind of sewage that's pouring out of that country, just like our country, you see? You know, it's a kind of a spiritual and cultural genocide over there. The Soviets stripped the Ukrainians of their Pysanky and their rich, you know, heritage, Ukrainian culture. And then when they left, the West filled the gap. You know, the West. They filled Ukraine with gay sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know? So the Patriarch of Moscow, whatever you think of him, he wasn't far off.
In contrast to Soviet times, Pride marches have been held in Ukraine since 2015. Police escorts are present, thanks to President Volodymyr Zelensky's government, which backs free speech and assembly for the LGBT+ community.
There's a culture war going on in Ukraine, with the new Ukraine now emerging. And this is so important. This new Ukraine, if I'm asking my Ukrainian friends to be critical of what's happening in their country, believe you me, I will lead the way by being critical of my country's role in this dumpster fire, this horrific, satanic dumpster fire that, as we showed you last week, Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham and all these people, these neocon war hawks, they're the ones that caused this thing.
We will be back here on this square to celebrate with you a Ukraine that stands with Europe and stands with the United States.
Don't forget, what Putin is doing, so we're told every night by guys like Sean Hannity, oh, he's destroying a sovereign nation. He's attacking democracy. Take a look at that sign on your screen right now. During a U.S. senator giving a speech in Kyiv. Look at that sign, you know? That was a democratically elected president with a picture of a bullet hole in his head. That's democracy, baby. And they've got all of us, like I said last time, we stand with Ukraine. We're being used. You see? The people of Ukraine, the good ones, the victims of this, they're being used. They're being used as human shields. I sometimes think this Zelensky guy wants them dead. He wants more of them to die so he can blame Russia. And look out for this chemical weapon thing they're talking about. Because somebody's going to use it. Be very careful when they tell us who. So, today, Pope Francis consecrated all of humanity, including Russia and Ukraine, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as I said at the top. Whatever went on here, and I'm not sure what it is, whatever it is, it's not something we need to blow ourselves up over. What was it? I'm really not sure. I just watched it and hope for the best. Pray for the best. The consecration may have been valid. I don't know. But you know, I was thinking, like, if Our Lady said Russia, maybe she meant Russia for some reason that we don't understand. There's nothing wrong with consecrating the Ukraine. But if somebody said, put this statue of Our Lady of La Salette on your desk because I want all everybody in your audience to see that statue. And I said, okay, and I put that statue there, and then I grabbed La Salette, and I grabbed Lourdes, and I grabbed Fatima, and I just put the whole array of Our Lady statues on the desk. Do you think that would have fulfilled the original request to isolate this statue for some reason, unbeknownst to me? I don't know. Maybe. There are some really good and holy people, including a bishop who's a close friend of mine, who thinks it was absolutely done correctly today, that it didn't matter that other things were added to that prayer. He's a lot holier than I am. And I pray that he's right. And I pray that I'm wrong. Well, I'm not going to lie to you. What I saw in the Vatican today was politicized, wasn't it? It was the same language that I heard during the Amazon Synod. I heard it all. Even Common Home was in it. You know, included all the, not all, but too many of the usual globalist buzzwords and all the rest. Does this invalidate it? Of course not. Of course not. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm just giving you my reaction. The introduction of globalist buzzwords to the consecration wouldn't ipso facto make it invalid. I'm just telling you how I reacted. And I didn't know what to think when he decided to add, Pope Francis decided to add a number of ills and evils and sins of the world. Nuclear war, for example, global crisisness where immigrants are concerned and all that sort of thing. Great, fine. But I'd be lying if I told you that I didn't notice that he forgot to mention abortion and gay marriage, the destruction of the family in the middle of a consecration of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary to save us, to forgive us. He forgot to mention the destruction of the nucleus of society? The family? I'd be lying if I told you that I didn't find it somewhat interesting that not Francis, but a whole line of popes for some reason refused to do this consecration back when Russia was atheist, when Russia was dominated by what? The USSR, wiping out millions of people. The popes refused to touch this. They refused to do what Our Lady of Fatima said. Why not? Why'd they do that? You know? But now, friends, now that Russia is taking up, whatever you think of it, there's no denying they're embracing a more pro-God, pro-Orthodox, you know, religion, nationalist posture. Suddenly, the very globalist Vatican decides Russia needs to be consecrated because there's a war on in Ukraine, a war which is largely the responsibility of the globalist friends of Pope Francis. You see? I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, come on, you're going back to that whole Russia's, you know, improving somehow. You know, Russia's not pro-God, you're going to say. That's just KGB propaganda again, right? Maybe it is. But aren't you guys the ones that told me that St. John Paul the Great got rid of communism? He and Ronald Reagan and Maggie Thatcher got rid of it? The KGB's been gone for what, 30 years, 25 years? But all of a sudden the KGB is what we're dealing with? So did John Paul get rid of it or not? I'd like to get the story straight here. I really would. The same folks that called me a schismatic for years because I questioned John Paul's consecration of Russia. You know, all of a sudden they're like, well, we need Francis to consecrate Russia. Well, I thought John Paul already... Anyway, is Russia moving in a direction that is more godly? I'm not an expert on Russian propaganda, but I can tell you one thing. I never saw Russian propaganda quite like this when I was growing up during the Cold War. icons of Jesus Christ? Song lyrics lifted straight from the Orthodox liturgy? Military leaders pointedly making the sign of the cross. Consecrate Russia, says the Pachamama Papa, right? That's, I can't get past that, friends. I hope you won't hold it against me. There's something about this that just, I'm just hoping and I'm praying that it was all on the up and up and that it worked. That would be fantastic. Who am I to judge? And I'm totally down with my friends who say, well, let's just wait and see what happens. We really don't have to do anything on this. We don't have to take it one way or the other. We just sit back and pray that it worked, that somehow God used a very weak vessel in Pope Francis. I'm all for that, you know? I guess now Russia is supposed to convert to the Catholic faith in the next few weeks, right? That's great. But you better address that if it doesn't happen, right? Because we need to retain belief and faith and confidence and hope in Fatima, the message of Fatima, right? If Russia doesn't convert, remember there were question marks. Please just do that. Do that for me. Tell your children about that. Maybe not right now, but at some point there were some question marks. Don't lose faith in Fatima as a result of some of the antics of the Vatican, of Pope Francis. You know, because we don't want to, especially if there's not a lot of evidence right away that Russia's converting, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to become like Darwinists, evolutionists, you know, when they couldn't find any evidence? They just said, well, that's because the Earth is, when I was a kid, it was 1 million years old. When I was in college, it was 1 billion years old. And now if you watch, you know, planet Earth or something, it's usually several trillion years old, you know, because they need time for evolution to work because they don't have any evidence, which, of course, is not science. So we can't do the same thing with this. Well, Russia will convert like 100 years from now, and it's a miracle. No, no, as I understand this, and please correct me if I'm wrong, as I understand this, Russia's got to convert now really, really quick, very dramatically, because the whole world is going to understand that it was Our Lady who did it through the consecration. And all I'm saying, I'm not trying to say it's not going to happen. I'm saying if by some chance it doesn't happen, don't blame her. You know? And if it did, well, fantastic. You know, this this war in Ukraine is inadvertently getting a lot of good things done, right? Russia's finally converted. The world is basically boarded the peace train. And ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. COVID's gone. Right? I don't know if you saw this, but I mean, things are happening on the COVID front that are very interesting. The CEOs of American Airlines, Delta, FedEx Express, JetBlue, Southwest, United, UPS Airline, Alaska Airlines, a bunch of other airlines, they all just signed this letter. Walter will put it up on the screen. A letter to President Biden, part of which reads, now is the time for the administration to sunset federal transportation travel restrictions, including the international pre-departure testing requirement and the federal mask mandate. Well, here at Remnant TV, we second the motion. Gentlemen, and welcome to the party, by the way. It's where we've been for a couple of years. But the thing is, of course, as much as that's welcome news, as somebody who flies a little bit, not as much as I used to, but it's welcome news to not have the thing. There's a new science in town, and this is the thing. You know, you just get the feeling there's a new Trojan horse coming now. You know, and it's going to be green, and it's going to be digital. This, the other one didn't work out too well. COVID came, and then there was the Omicron thing that didn't work out like we thought, and yeah, well, let's scrap it. Let's do something else. Besides that, Bill and Melinda got divorced. It's not even working that well. We need a whole new science to follow, right? And so it's political science now. And this political science, this geostrategic political science, comes complete with experts like this.
And relatedly, is the United States willing to make a specific allocation for Ukrainian refugees?
A friend in need is a friend indeed. Okay,
I can first. Okay.
She's kind of our I guess she'd be our new Dr. Fauci. Is that what old Kamala's going to be there, apparently? We're going to listen to her for a while, just, you know, run her mouth and say whatever, because she gets her science, as you well know, from TV.
We all watched the television coverage of just yesterday. Pregnant women going for health care, being injured by I don't know, missile, a bomb?
This is just genius, lady. Let's just support the same socialist crap that landed Ukraine in hell the last time around. Remember?
In the early 1930s, millions of Ukraine's people died in a devastating famine. Known as the Holodomor, it is one of the most tragic chapters in Ukrainian history. When Ukraine became a part of the Soviet Union in 1922, it was the country's breadbasket, thanks to its fertile fields of wheat. In 1928, Soviet leader Joseph Stalin introduced collectivization, which was supposed to unite privately owned farms into state collective farms called kolkhoz. The Soviet leadership argued that collective farms would be more effective and produce a surplus, which would feed industrial workers. As many Ukrainian peasants were not willing to hand over their land to the state, their fields were confiscated.
Sounds like you will own nothing and be happy. Joe Stalin. Is it possible that Field Marshal Schwab has been channeling Joseph Stalin this whole time? We kind of thought it was Adolf Hitler. Maybe it's Joseph Stalin. I don't know. It's that accent you just naturally go with the Führer reference, but who knows? But in any case, we're doing it all over again, exactly what they did to Ukraine, right? Well, only this time it's being done by good guys, you know, and it's being done on a global scale. They can now make Holodomors happen with the push of a button. Yeah, digitally, Mars, reimagine the Holodomors. Digitize them. Digitize the Holocaust next time. It's going to be so great. It's going to be a lot cheaper. For one thing, you don't need the camps, you don't need the gulag. So Zelensky has legalized all cryptocurrency exchanges, national and international, and his virtual assets law now will determine the legal status, the classification, and the ownership of all virtual assets. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you will soon enough. Remember when the little ferret froze the accounts, the bank accounts of the truckers up in Canada? Well, this is sort of similar. It's going to happen on a global level where money itself now is going to be digitized. This guy Zelensky has even introduced financial monitoring just to keep you safe. Oh, by the way, it also comes with a plan to digitally track all those unvaccinated Ukrainians to help them stay safe. Oh, I know, COVID's pretty much done, but we should probably still vaccinate the hell out of them anyway, just to kind of get them used to it, because, you know, there might be another pandemic at some point. That's what's happening right now in the Ukraine that you are standing with. While you were doing all that, because you were told to on TV, Mr. Biden was digitizing your currency, too. Yeah, he wants the digital dollar now. Did you know that? Okay, say bye to your greenbacks. They're not going to be there long. Not much longer. The coming cashless society, Joe Biden style. And over which, by the way, once we have this cashless society, don't worry. Your assets will be protected, you see, because he's going to set up global regulation. It's going to be fantastic. Again, while you were standing with Ukraine, all of this was going on. Biden was signing executive orders, calling on federal agencies to take a unified approach, he calls it, to regulation of your digital assets. Now, you might be thinking, holy cow, guy can barely walk. He can barely string sentences together anymore. Seems completely out of his cotton picking mind. He's got COVID. He's got war in Eastern Europe. Why is he doing this right now? Well, you know the answer to that.
There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it.
So while we're standing with Ukraine, they are establishing a new world order system of control, such as the Soviet Union folks never dreamt of. You say, well, it's, you know, new world order is a conspiracy theory. The president of the United States just said it. Okay, it's not a conspiracy theory, friends. This is exactly what they're doing. And I'm not saying they're going to pull it off, but this is what they're trying to do. And once we realize this is what they are trying to do, maybe we can get our act together and fight back more effectively. Because what they see in the future, they reimagine the future of the world, you know, is a future in which if you say the wrong thing, if you think the wrong thing, God help you, you think the wrong thoughts, you won't be sent to the gulag. You'll just quietly starve to death in the comfort of your own home. Under government surveillance, of course. It's called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. That's what they have in mind. I am so tired of people thinking or saying, sophisticated people online, people buying into the Schwab Fourth Industrial Revolution. It's just because they don't know what the heck they're talking about. It's because they're not paying attention. They're not reading the books. They're not reading the articles. They don't realize these guys are serious as a heart attack.
People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century.
Yeah, because these guys, they're just trying to keep us safe. They care about democracy. They're over there in Eastern Europe. They want us to go to war with Russia, in fact, to defend democracy, to defend the sacred will of the people. It's all nonsense, friends. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all Barbara Streisand. Can they pull it off? I can't even imagine that they can. But maybe if we don't return, if we don't restore ourselves, if we don't become godly people again, yeah, maybe. Not ultimately. Short answers. Of course, they're going to fail. In the end, they're going to fail because this is insane. And demons will always turn on each other, as I'll show you in a moment, in striking fashion. But the point is, we got to wake up. We had a chance. We saw how it would work. Now, they just doubled down, and they came out on top for the moment. But who would have thought, friends? Not to go back into the whole Trump thing. But just from our point of view, who would have thought that 70 million American patriots would suddenly just wake up and take to the streets and actually make a stand against this new world order, against these globalists, you know, a few years back. But we did that, and we did it so effectively that we forced these people, we forced them to act into an act of sheer desperation, let's say, to get rid of the orange man. You know, love him or hate him, I don't care. He was no globalist.
Clearly, I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world, but I regard it as a purely temporary phenomenon that will disappear in 2020.
And when they took Trump down, even guys like the commie in China said, oh, wow, I guess I could be next. I'm stepping back too. And you know what that did? That incurred the wrath of one George Soros. Check this out. Did you ever think you would see this?
Xi Jinping is a true believer in communism. Mao Zedong and Vladimir Lenin are his idols. Xi Jinping's term in power ought to expire in 2022. But Xi, inspired by Lenin, has gained firm control of the military and all other institutions of repression and surveillance. He has carefully choreographed the process that will elevate him to the level of Mao Zedong and Deng Xiaoping and make him ruler for life.
So it seems to me, throwing Xi Jinping under the bus, Vladimir Putin's got his own little war going over in Eastern Europe. So the only one that Soros has left of the big three is Joe Biden. That's it.
President Biden has generally adopted the right policies. He told Putin that Russia will pay a heavy price if he attacks Ukraine. At the same time, Biden has made it clear to Xi Jinping that if he uses force against Taiwan, China will have to confront not only the U.S., but a larger alliance.
I think we all know exactly who Joe Biden's boss is, right? We knew that from the start. Remember, he was in his basement the whole time? He didn't even run in a normal way? You know that. He's not the guy. He's not in charge of anything. He's just doing what he's told. And now, friends, this is the... To me, it's exciting to watch this. The damage has been done. Did you ever think you would see this happen? Remember when that little ferret was up there doing his mischief with the truckers, the Freedom Convoy up in Canada? You know, oh man, he's just so powerful. There's nothing anybody can do. Well, you know what? Those truckers, just like you and me, the message they sent resonated, as we talked about at the time, it resonated all over the world, and it can be done again, that sort of thing, if we stay together and keep believing, keep faith alive. Right now, this week, folks at the very top of the European Union are still calling out this psychotic madness of Klaus Schwab and his young glorious leader, Justin Trudeau.
Mr. Trudeau, you are a disgrace for any democracy. Please spare us your presence. It would have been more appropriate for Mr. Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, to address this House according to Article 144, an article which was specifically designed to debate violations of human rights, democracy, and the rule of law, which is clearly the case with Mr. Trudeau.
And with the Prime Minister of Canada, the way he's behaving right now, he's exactly like a tyrant, like a dictator. He's like Ceausescu in Romania. If even you doubt, if you raise doubts about the vaccines, you're outcasted. When I saw the protests in Canada, you know, the way the truckers over there reacted, you know, I got in touch with some of them, others contacted me. I congratulated them, and I want to use this opportunity to thank them.
Invitation to Canadian PM Justin Trudeau. It's an invitation to someone who's been trampling on democratic rights, who's been cracking down on people who protested against disproportionate corona measures. Let us not give someone like this any speaking time in this house of democracy.
And over the past few months, it has become a symbol of violating basic human rights and civic freedoms. We have witnessed women being trampled by horses, single parents being their bank accounts are being blocked. This is a dictatorship of the worst kind.
Isn't that just so rewarding? Isn't that just contagious? Doesn't that just feel good? You know what? Most people feel that way about the insufferable Justin Trudeau. Most people feel that way about Joe Biden and Macron and the rest of these people, you know? So don't lose hope, friends, is the parting message tonight. Despite, as we sit at the top of the store, all this chaos, all this crazy going on, all this darkness, all this scary, everything is still okay. God's in his heaven. All is right in the world, ultimately. Our job, as I said, remains the same. Know, love, and serve God, and turn off your TV. And they lose. Because nobody wants what these globalists are selling anymore. It hurts nations, it breaks families, it closes churches, it makes children sick, it slaughters babies and wombs, it has no future. Its champions, friends, are old, they're dying, and they're discredited. All of which is a sign from God to keep hope alive that this war is winnable. All we need to do is stay focused. Don't let them divide the clans. Let's have absolute confidence in the victory that is coming and that will be ours. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV. Long live Christ the King, and we'll see you next week.